Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christine. So as we come to God's word together this morning, let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that by your Spirit, you would help us to hear your voice, to recognize your voice, to know your purposes for us, for your glory's sake. Amen. So I would encourage you to keep the reading open. It's page 1188 in the paper Bibles, or do feel free to get it up on a device. And it's from chapter 4, verse 13, through to chapter 5, verse 11. I wonder what questions you ask God. Or perhaps what questions you ask about God. If God was sitting in a chair at the front of church this morning and you could each have one question, I wonder what your question would be. In our reading this morning, Paul, Timothy, and Silas are responding to some questions raised by the Christians in Thessalonica. Questions about what will happen when Christ comes again and when this will be. I think questions of suffering, what happens when we die, are often high up on the list of questions that we and others have about the Christian faith. So if you've got those questions, do tune in this morning as we listen to what Paul has to say to the Thessalonians. Now, as it's the fourth Sunday, for anyone that would like one, I have attempted to make a handout. You don't have to have one, so if you find it helpful to have something to write on or to colour in, then take one. If you don't take one, or take one and turn it into a paper aeroplane if that will help you to listen this morning, whatever works for you. But when you get a hand up, you will see that I've attempted, firstly, a very short summary of this morning's sermon and this morning's Bible reading. So if you need a very, very short summary, it is this, live with hope. So three-word, very short summary. So if that's enough for you this morning, just take that. If you can handle a slightly longer summary, there is a slightly longer summary in six symbols, which I'm going to attempt to walk us through now. So if your brain works a bit like mine, you might find those six symbols helpful. If it doesn't, you might not. But we'll see how we get on. But if you need colouring pencils to colour in, there's colouring pencils and things at the front, so do help yourself to those. So very short summary, live with hope. Slightly longer summary, six symbols, which I'm going to use to help us to think about the reading now. Are the sheets getting around to everyone? I feel like I didn't split the pile very evenly, so we might have more downstairs and actually need some upstairs. So if I can leave you to make sure everyone's got sight of one, if they would like to, that would be wonderful. So we're beginning with the question mark. I've already told you that our reading this morning is Paul responding to some questions that the Thessalonians are asking. Now, the passage divides into two sections, and it helpfully splits chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and then chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And the first thing to notice is how the two sections begin and end in similar ways. So chapter 4, verse 13 begins, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about," and ends, "Therefore, encourage one another." So that's the first section. Second section, chapter 5, verse 1 begins, "Now, brothers and sisters, about," and ends, verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." So the two sections responding to two questions begin and end in similar ways. And each section is dealing with a different question. Chapter 4, 13 to 18, the first section, is about what will happen to believers who've already died when Christ comes again. So that's the kind of first question that's around. And then the second section is about the timing when Christ will come again. So there's a question, if you want a short summary, there's a question about death, and then there's a question about dates. They're the two questions in view in our passage this morning. Now, the context of these questions was likely concern amongst the Christians in Thessalonica about whether believers who died before the return of Jesus would miss out on Jesus coming again in glory and all God's promises to those who run the race and keep the faith. If someone's already died before Jesus comes back, are they going to miss out? That's the question that's in view. Is it only those believers who are alive when Jesus comes again who will reap the heavenly reward? Will believers who have already died, some of whom have died for their faith, will they have died in vain? Trusting in something? Trusting in a God who's not going to come through for them? You can see how the questions spiral. So that's the first symbol, question mark. Now we're on to the second one, which is the downward arrow. Really, I think I should have done a kind of spirally downward arrow, because you can see how when we've got questions, they can spiral. Or my questions can spiral. I don't know about you when you have questions. So hopefully you're already picking up how what was initially good news for the new believers in Thessalonica, the best news even, Jesus saves, might not be such great news if believers who have died before Christ comes again are going to miss out on the resurrection of the body and life in God's everlasting kingdom. So they've come to faith, they're really full of the good news of Jesus, and then they're kind of thinking a bit And, oh, hang on, what if? So many of my questions begin like that. What if? I don't know about the questions that you have. What if? And questions can very quickly spiral, and suddenly the question, you don't have to go too far for the question to get to, well, what's the point? What's the point in me doing this? What's the point in following Jesus? Meaning and purpose are very quickly replaced by despair and hopelessness. So I've represented that with the kind of downward arrow. I should have done a kind of spirally one. But when we've got questions and they get a bit out of control, they can very quickly lead to despair and hopelessness. What's the point? Why follow Jesus? Paul, Timothy, and Silas don't want this for the Thessalonian Christians, and I don't want this for any of us. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they don't want the Thessalonian Christians to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. That's chapter 4, verse 14. To belong to the night or to the darkness, chapter 5, verse 5. Instead, they want them to wait confidently, to live with hope as children of the light and children of the day. So Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they respond to the questions raised about Christ's coming again, first by looking back and then by looking forward. So we're on to the middle two symbols. So this is the looking back and this is the looking forward, and we're going to think about them together. So looking back, because Jesus died and rose again, verse 14 of chapter 4. Because Jesus has already overcome the most final thing there is, death, that's the most final thing there is, and Jesus has already overcome it, the Thessalonians can be confident. And so, looking forward, they can be confident that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We're still chapter 4, verse 14. The believers who have died will return with Jesus. So hopefully you get the idea. He's looking back. Jesus has died and rose again, so you can be confident that the believers who have already died in the faith will too rise again. Looking back and looking forward. And then continuing, according to the Lord's word, verse 15, looking back, so looking back at the Lord's word, at God's promises in his words, the Thessalonians can be confident, looking forward, that those who are still alive will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Those believers who have already died, they're not going to miss out. So you don't need to get into a downward spiral of despair and hopelessness. They're not going to miss out. When Christ comes again, believers who have died and believers who are alive will be together in God's glorious kingdom. So in order to not get into that downward spiral, they need to look back to what Jesus has done to be confident for what he will do. So that's the two arrows in the middle. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Some of you, if the arrows don't work, just ignore them. The thing we need to know is that we're invited to look back at what God has done in order to be confident about what he will do. Now, if you're anything like me, those of you that ever have a conversation with me might think this rings true. You'll give me an answer on something, and then I've got some more questions. The answer doesn't solve everything. The answer just leads to new questions about the new information that you've given me. And it's almost as though Paul, Silas, and Timothy are anticipating this will be the case for the Thessalonians. That they'll be there going, okay, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, you've made the case that because of what Christ has already done, we can be confident about what he will do. But what does that look like? Okay, you've told us we can look back to be confident for the future, but what does that look like? Anticipating this question, Paul, Timothy, and Silas attempt to describe what Christ's second coming might be like. And we've got some very vivid imagery here. And the pictures picture they paint is of a welcome party from a city going out to receive a special visitor, a special guest, which would have been common in that time. So if someone really important, perhaps a king was coming, a welcome party would go out to meet them, and then they'd all return together. And so that's the image that's in view in these verses in 16 and 17, I think it is. A welcome party from the city would go out to greet the visitor, and then together they would all return. So those who are still alive will be caught up in the air, verse 17, with the Lord, and those who've already died, and together everyone will return to earth to live with the Lord forever. And I think it's just worth noticing at this point, I think we often talk about heaven being up here and earth down there. The picture we have in scripture is of heaven coming down to transform the earth, of a new renewed heaven and earth, a new renewed creation. But words can only really get Paul, Timothy, and Silas so far in describing Christ's second coming. It's beyond, they've not experienced it. So they've borrowed imagery from different parts of scripture. We've got a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, Christ coming on the clouds. They're attempting to describe something that's beyond their experience. So we don't need to worry too much about the kind of literal details. We need to grasp the fact that we've been painted this beautiful, hopeful picture. The Thessalonians can wait with confidence. They don't need to wonder whether there's any point. They can wait with confidence because Christ has risen and Christ will come again. And this is sort of how it will look, and isn't that good? So we're now on to, if you're following the symbols, on to the up arrow. Paul, Timothy and Silas, they can't tell the Thessalonians the time or date Christ will come because they don't know. It will come like a thief in the night, chapter 5, verse 2. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they can't tell them the date. Because if the Thessalonians are living hopefully, if they're waiting with confidence, looking to Jesus, trusting in the one true living God to keep his promises and seeking day by day to faithfully serve him, then they'll be ready. Like if they're trying to live for Jesus in their everyday lives, doesn't matter what day Christ comes again, they'll be ready. Peace and safety was a phrase of the Roman Empire, and it was associated with stability. And so here the Roman Empire is being contrasted with the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom. So the Roman Empire is a temporary kingdom. The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom, and they're being contrasted here. Living hopefully, waiting with confidence for Christ coming again when we'll have that renewed heaven and renewed earth, means letting go of earthly kingdom ideas and earthly kingdom language, and instead living first and foremost as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's what unites us, being citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We're into chapter 5. Into chapter 5 now. Faith, love, and hope, verse 8 of chapter 5, are not to be things the Thessalonians put on special occasions. Oh, we've heard a rumour that Christ might be back on Friday. On Thursday night, I'll get out my faith, hope, and love. They're to be their everyday attire, their armour for taking on life's challenges and joys, of which there are plenty. There were plenty for the Thessalonians then, and there are plenty for us now. To be awake, and there's lots of imagery in chapter 5 around being awake, being alert, being ready, is simply to be living in constant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, growing in faith and love and hope. And that's why I've put the upward arrow. Looking to him for what we need each and every day. Living out faith, hope, and love in our everyday lives. So don't worry, Thessalonians, about the time or the date that Christ will come again. Just get on with living in faith, hope, and love, growing in faith, hope, and love, being people of faith, hope, and love. So we come on to the final symbol, if you're following the symbols, which hopefully looks to you like a signpost. That's what it's meant to be. Because by living in faith, hope, and love, in constant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Thessalonians will be an encouragement to one another and to those around them. They will be a signpost pointing people to Jesus and the redeeming, healing, transforming work begun on the cross, which will one day be brought to completion with a renewed heaven and earth. And so you, earlier on I was saying how both questions end with Paul saying, therefore encourage one another. When they've got questions, they're not to go into a downward spiral. They're to look back at what Christ has done so that they might be confident in what he will do. And confident in what he will do, they're to live in relationship with him, in faith, hope, and love. And by doing that, to be an encouragement to one another, to spur one another on, and to signpost one another and those they meet to Jesus through the hope that they have. So that's the kind of journey we've been on through this passage. We will all have questions. When I left secondary school, my form tutor bought all that I was at girls' school, and she bought all the girls in my class a coaster. And all of the other girls in my class got like a butterfly or a flower, like some nice pretty design. I got this lime green coaster that was covered in question marks. I would show it to you, but my dog chewed it a few years back. I was the only one that got this coaster covered in question marks. It's my kind of mode of operating. And I have to rein it in because I definitely do the question, 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 and then suddenly it's like, what if? Maybe you're like that too. Even if you're not like that, I'm sure you will have some questions some of the time about experiences in your lives, things you see going on in our world. When we have those questions, whether they're about death or suffering or science, whatever they might be, I'd like to suggest this passage is a reminder to us not to get in a downward spiral, not to try and like solve it all in our head. That's what I think I can do. If I just think a bit harder, and then the emoji I have to use most frequently when I'm messaging my friends is the exploding head one. Those of you that use WhatsApp and emojis will know what I mean. My tendency, if I just think a bit harder, I'll be able to. No. I need to look back to what God has done, what Christ has done on the cross, to Christ's resurrection, and simply be confident that Christ will do what's promised in his word that he will do, because he's got a track record of faithfulness. So a bit like a few weeks ago, we did that pass the parcel game and you all kept unwrapping the layers, even though there was nothing in them, because you were confident I was telling you the truth when I said there was a present in the middle. That's how it is, that running the race of faith. Looking back at what Christ has done so that we can be confident that he will do what he's promised, that he will come again in glory as Redeemer and as Judge. And when we live as people who are confident, who are hopeful, it's a powerful witness in our culture and in our society. There are all sorts of things that have the potential to overwhelm us: political concerns, environmental concerns, personal struggles. It's not that we're called to be carefree. Definitely not called to be carefree, or careless, definitely not called to be careless. But to people who, in the midst of a hostile world, that's what our series is on, Hope and Holiness in a Hostile World, to be people who, in the midst of a hostile world, live out of Jesus' strength in the face of our weakness, live as people who have our eyes just set on a higher perspective, on a higher plane, who have hope. Because hope is really powerful to bring transformation. when we're secure in our identity as citizens of the heaven, we can bring that perfect love which casts out fear, and it's often fear that leads to division. Christ is our hope in life and death. So let's encourage one another in these things, that we might be signposts of hope in a hostile world, pointing people to Jesus. Amen.